Crushed and amazed in your presence. There is nothing you cannot do. I stand amazed in your presence. There is joy. I entitled this Bible message, The Art of Dying with Christ. I believe that this is a very important message that God has asked me to speak to you even before you undertake any battle, even before you enroll yourself as a soldier, a warrior of God. This is the primary criteria that you and I must have, because without this criteria, we would be disqualified from being a soldier of God in the army of God. God, in His infinite wisdom and love for us, He knows that we will not be able to withstand the onslaught of the enemy if we were to fight the enemy, if we first do not die to ourselves in Christ. This point is very important, because if you first do not come to the state and the condition where you're totally broken, you know that you have come to the end of your human resources, you have used your brains, your intelligence, whichever things that you pride yourself on, that you are good at, and maybe you're really good at them in the world, but you cannot depend on them anymore without first laying down your life for Christ. If you do not lay down your life for Christ and you jump into the battle because you think that you're a pretty good person, you feel pretty strong, you feel pretty confident, and you feel like you can excel in the spiritual world, let me tell you that it's very dangerous. It's extremely dangerous, because the Holy Spirit is warning me and I need to tell you. So as soldiers of God, when we fight in the army of God, we do not fight for our own glory. We do not fight to satisfy our own pride or our own vanity. In fact, we cannot use any of our strengths that we think we ourselves are, because that is very dangerous. If you rely on yourself, that is a sure way to get into trouble when you encounter the spiritual forces that are against you, against God. I want to talk a little bit about the reason why we fight. The reason why we take out our armor and our weapons in Christ and we make a stand against the devil is not because we are proud and then we want to show off to the devil we have nothing better to do. I assure you, and I'm sure you are in the same situation as me, you have a lot of things that you want to do in your life. You want to excel in your secular life. You want to do well in your job. You want to earn a good livelihood for your family. You want to take care of your loved ones and those who depend on you. You want to excel as a person. But we have to finally take out our arms and fight, because the devil would not let us off. Even when we try to live our lives quietly, not bothering Him, we live our lives wanting to worship God. But when we have a true heart for God and we have a true heart for worshiping God, we may come under spiritual attacks. So you may find yourself unwittingly or wittingly under demonic attacks. And when you're under such attacks, the devil has no love, has no compassion, has no leeway for you. You frequently found yourself pushed into a corner that either you surrender to the devil and you allow yourself to be destroyed by him eventually, or you have to take a stand and you have to stand firm for your own survival and for the survival of your loved ones. If you have that condition, you have that need, that is the first need that qualifies you to cry out to God for His help and His power to stop the devil from attacking you and your family. So, in teaching you all the strategies of war, it would be irresponsible of me not to warn you that we do not fight for ourselves. We fight because the devil has trespassed, has encroached into our territory, has destroyed our lives, or is threatening to destroy our lives, has stolen away our things, our blessings, and our providence from God until we have nowhere to stand, and we have no choice but to stand firm in the strength of God to push back, to stop ourselves and our loved ones from being completely destroyed by the devil. Then you have every right to stand. You have every means to stand. You know that it is God's will for you not to be destroyed by the devil and go to hell. You know that God has given you the provision to stand firm, to resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And I will give you some Bible verse about dying with Christ, and you can then look it up. I'll put it in the comments as well. You can look at Romans 6:6. Our old self was crucified with Christ in order that our body of sin may be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the Christ, in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. That is the first condition of us undertaking the fight and drafting ourselves into the army of God. We must have a good reason that is us crying out to God because the devil in some way or the other has trespassed into our territory. He is the one doing the violation. We are not the ones that's out seeking him. We are the ones that stand firm and defend our right to live, our right to worship God, and our right to abundant life that God has promised us. If you find yourself in that category, then yes, you qualify as the first reason. I'm going to tell you the second reason that you need, or the second criteria that you need in order before you enlist yourself as an army of God. The second criteria that all soldiers in Christ's army, what we know is that we must die to ourselves. This is very hard to do, but it's absolutely critical. If you find that you're not able to die to yourself, you still hold on to your own self-will, to your own rights. Like, I have my right to be angry. I have my right to take revenge because so-and-so was mean to me. I have my rights to do this and say that I want to plan it this way because I've done it before and it works. I'm telling you, if you're in a spiritual fight, it's not going to work. If at this point you feel like what you're asking me is too difficult, I cannot do it. I cannot give up on myself. I cannot give up to my self-will. I cannot give up to my rights to be angry, to be angry with others who have hurt me. And I assure you, I believe that they have hurt you. Otherwise, you will not be listening to my podcast. But I'm telling you, if you want to move on and you want to find out how do I put a stop to all this tyranny against me and put a stop so that I'm not killed by them, I'm not dying because of them, I'm telling you, you cannot move ahead if you do not die to Christ. And if I tell you otherwise, I would be endangering your life and your future, because God has told me, and I know that if we go into the battle, if we go into any spiritual battle, depending on our own strength, clinging on to our own sins, we are in a lot of danger. We are in a lot of danger. Every good soldier of God knows that when you go into the army or the special forces or anything, you must be completely disciplined to God. You must not have your own self-will. Someone like a special force in the army cannot say that I disregard the commands of my superior because I think of a better way. And if Jesus Christ is our commander, if the Holy Spirit is the one that execute these strategies, then we cannot be like an errant soldier to insist on our own ways and be unstable at certain times, do our own things. Such a person will not work in the army of God. He will not only endanger himself, he may endanger his teammates as well. Therefore, before you go any further, before you learn any strategies of fighting, I would advise you, for your own safety, think seriously about this point. Ask God if you need to, about dying to yourself and qualifying yourself with the basic requisites for enrolling in the army of God. I want to share with you one lesson that God has taught me in the early days, even before He qualified me in the army of God. And that's the story of Abraham and Ishmael. So you know the story that God has promised Abraham and Sarah a son of promise. But that son of promise, Isaac, Abraham and Sarah had to wait many years for that promise of God to come to fruition. In fact, they have to wait so long until in the physical realm, their bodies were too old in the biological sense and the physical sense to conceive a child before God would even start to work the miracle in their lives. And somewhere along the way, although Abraham and Sarah, they are good Christians that the Bible asks us to learn from, they are also humans because they are not God. And humans falter along the way. You know that, and I know that, right? That's you and I, right? So somewhere along the way, the many years that they waited for God to fulfill their promise, they got impatient. And they think that, oh, God is so long. He needs some help. He needs a bit of pushing. He needs me to do something. And you start to think of your own devices and your own strategies. And you think, I think we can do this. I have done somewhat like this before. And I have somewhat some success. Or I have seen other people do this. Other people given me advice that I can do this. And it will accomplish God's purpose. And when they do that, when they took matters into their own hand and relied onto their own human wisdom and intelligence to do the thing that God asked them to do, they conceive not the son of promise, Isaac, but they conceive a demonic person, Ishmael. They conceived Ishmael because they did not wait for the counsel of God and for the timing of God to fulfill the promise of God in their lives. They took matters into their own hands. And whenever we humans, when we take matters in our own hands and we rely on our own human intelligence, it only works for human things. So if you're a non-Christian and you're always used to relying on your own wits, your own intelligence, your own gifts, whatever you have, maybe the gift of talking or salesman or whatever, yes, you will get limited success. I don't deny that. You may be very successful, in fact. But when anyone is trying to do the things of God that God has asked them to do, it is very important that you do not create Ishmaels in your lives. Let me ask you, if you know that you have been called by God to do something, do you want to produce Ishmael? And bear in mind that the production of Ishmael became a constant source of irritation and annoyance to Abraham's family. Haggai and Sarah had constant quarrels, and it didn't bring them the blessing that they hoped for. It brought them frustration, it brought them strife, it brought them quarrels, it brought them splitting of the family. And even up to today, Ishmael continued to be a thorn in the flesh in the whole perfect picture that God has for Abraham. And that's our Ishmael. We need to be clear. Are we ready to give up our Ishmael? That is why it is connected to the dying of ourselves. When we put ourselves in the Lord's army, He wants the army that is totally, totally dependent on Him. The army that could not overcome in the secular eyes. Because in our weakness, God's strength is made perfect. So I ask you, do you want to be a vessel, or do you want to grab the glory from God and say that I did this out of my own brains, which means that you are diminishing God. You are showing, in fact, to the world, I'm so great. I can tap on God. I can utilize God, utilize my own intelligence. That's not someone that God is looking for to be His servant. That's why I say that whoever wants to dedicate yourself purely to the work of God, the second basic criteria is the death to yourself, death to your rights to produce Ishmael, death to your self-will, death to your self-movement away from God. I know this is something very difficult for us as normal humans to give up our own self-will. Because self-will is something that God created us to be, right? That's the reason why we have a choice. Every one of us, we have a choice whether to accept God as our Messiah or not. He did not make us puppets in order to control us. He gave us self-will. But now, the same self-will, He's asking us, do you follow me? Do you want to follow me? If you do, you must lay down your life and take up your cross, meaning that you voluntarily lay down your rights to a life, to self-will, apart from God, because of your overwhelming love for God, that you willingly picked up your cross from God. And that's the difference between God and the devil. The devil will also come to you with a similar context, but there's some crucial differentiation. Because the devil doesn't love you, right? The devil only loves himself, and he wants a one-upmanship against God to show God the Father that he is better than God the Son. And God the Father made a mistake in choosing Jesus Christ as the Messiah and not Lucifer. And therefore, the devil will use all kinds of tactics against you because you are created by God and you're beloved by God. You know that, right? You're created as weaker creatures, but the devil will offer you in exchange. Either he will bribe you. If you serve me, I will give you my power. If you serve me, I will give you my riches because I'm the prince of the air, the prince of this earth. So he will first tempt you and bribe you. If he cannot bribe you or tempt you, he will trick you by telling you lies so that you believe in his lies, or he will offer up temptations to you so that once you fall into his temptation, you found yourself guilty, and he will constantly use that guilt to poke you so that you are trapped by him. You feel oppressed by him, you're forced by him, and whether by deception or by rebellion, you find that you're not able to extract yourself from him. That's the devil. But God doesn't do that to us. God doesn't lie to us. God doesn't give us temptations. God doesn't trick us. God doesn't manipulate us. God doesn't force us. Anything that we do for God is out of our own free will. We have the choice to choose whether we serve God or we serve ourselves or we serve the devil. We have the right to choose whether we give up our own self-will for God or we say, no, God, we love ourselves too much. We cannot possibly give you anything that precious to me. I can give you those leftover things that I can give you. Maybe I can give you like $10 a month, or I can give you like other things that I don't really care about. But the things that I really care about, these are me. These are mine. These are my right to them. And so it's really a question of how much do you love God? And finally, before I end the podcast, I want to tell you that please do not use your emotion. Do not use after you listen to this podcast and you're all charged up and you feel like this emotional love for God and you try to do it yourself. You say, yeah, I want to and I'm going to do it. I'm going to give up. Please do not, because you cannot do anything on your own. It will not stand. When the storm comes and the battle comes, you find yourself backpedaling. And I think it's really bad. I would advise you that you take this to the Lord in prayer. Just as when we first came to Christ, we did not come to Christ because of our own goodness or our own intelligence. We came to Christ because the Holy Spirit moved us. And in our spirit, we know without a doubt that God is real and we accept God as our Savior. In the same way, we need to approach the matter of dying to God. We do not come to God to die for Him because of our own emotionalism or because on the spur of the moment or because even of our own intellect. We have to move by the Spirit. Please take this to God and talk to God. Talk to God about this. Don't make a decision yet if you're not ready. Tell God that I heard about this. Is this true? Ask God to show you the Bible verses. Go and study the Bible verses, because otherwise you're going to make a life decision, right? What can be more important than a decision that will affect the rest of your life? So I advise you to go and read the Bible, look for all the verses to talk about this, and ask the Holy Spirit to show you in His time that, God, am I called by you? If you're calling me, what is it that you want me to do, and how should I go about it? If we go this way, every step of our life, in accordance to the calling of God and to the movement of God, we will be in a safe place that every step that we take is sure, our footing is sure, we will not fall because God is the one who called us and will give us strength and will give us endurance when the enemy comes, and we will be able to make it triumph. In the name of Jesus, I bless you, and I hope that God will speak to you as you seek Him, as He has spoken to me. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Awesome is your